Have you ever read Proust? If you took a literature class in college, you may have, but if not, his masterpiece, In Search of Lost Time, may well be one of those things you think you should read someday when you get around to it. But as daunting as the 3,000-page multi-part novel may be, Joshua Landy argues that it's worth the effort, that the insights contained in this 100-year-old book could transform your life. Joshua is a professor of comparative literature at Stanford and joins us now to share five of the big ideas from The World According to Proust.
My name is Joshua Landy. I teach literature and philosophy at Stanford University, and I'm here to give you five insights from my book, The World According to Proust. Marcel Proust wrote a 3,000-page novel full of philosophical brilliance. Here are five things I learned from thinking about it. First insight, memory shows you who you are, or at least a special kind of memory does. Try this. Think about what you did on your last birthday. Who was there? What presents did you get? How did it go? Okay, now try this. Pick a song you used to listen to a long time ago, but you haven't heard in years. Turn down the lights and listen to it again. What comes back to you? Whatever you remembered about your birthday party, you remembered voluntarily. You deliberately called it to mind. But whatever you remembered thanks to the song, well, that popped into your head without you trying. Like, for instance, the time you made a fool of yourself at New Year's 30 years ago in front of the person you cared most about in the world while that song was playing. That example may or may not be autobiographical. I couldn't possibly comment. A more famous example is the Madeleine scene in Proust, where the main character eats a cake he hasn't tasted in years and suddenly remembers parts of his past he has long forgotten. At once, he said, the vicissitudes of life had become indifferent to me, its disasters innocuous, its brevity illusory. I had ceased now to feel mediocre, contingent, mortal. Proust loves this kind of memory, the involuntary kind, because it teleports you through time, dropping you straight into the shoes of your former self. You experience that person's emotions from within, or the joys, the sorrows, and in my case, the humiliations. But more importantly, you notice a part of you that hasn't changed in all this time, a way of seeing the world, a way of putting everything together that always stays the same. That's the thing that makes you, you. Why is that so important? Well, that's where our second insight comes in. Insight number two, it's good to be yourself. In Proust's novel, the lowest point for the main character comes when he feels obliterated by grief and he's lost all sense of who he is. He no longer feels, he says, like an individual, identical, and permanent self. You want to be all of those things. You want to be an individual, identical, and permanent self. You want to have an individual self rather than just blending into the crowd. And you want to have an identical self rather than being torn apart by competing impulses. Should I be with this person or that person? Should I take this job or that job? Should I eat the tofu burger or the chocolate mousse? A trick question. The answer is the chocolate mousse. And you want to have a permanent self rather than just changing wildly and unpredictably all the time. You need to be able to take responsibility for what you did in the past, to keep your promises in the present, and to make plans for the future. Sure, you shouldn't get locked into a bad relationship or a bad job or a bad way of thinking, but your changes have to make sense. They have to hang together in a story you can tell yourself about your life. If you can have all of that, Proust thinks, you'll make life better for yourself. And you may even make life better for other people. That brings us to our third insight, which may be a little surprising. Insight number three, once you have yourself figured out, the world will thank you for sharing it. At least if you share it in the form of a poem, a painting, or a song. Here's what Proust thinks about human beings. Every single person has a different way of experiencing life, an inner world that you'll never find twice. But most of the time, those worlds are trapped inside our heads. We talk to each other about ideas, or argue about sports and politics, and we never realize the amazing richness and strangeness of each other's unique perspective. Even if we get to know someone really well, Proust thinks, we never get a full sense of who they really are. But art pulls off a kind of miracle. When you look at a painting by Georgia O'Keeffe, read a novel by Toni Morrison, or watch a movie by Charlie Kaufman, you get beamed straight into their world. So art isn't just a form of narcissism. It isn't a self-indulgent wallowing in the glory of yourself. It's a gift, one that fills the world with almost magical possibility. Thanks to art, there are suddenly multiple versions of reality at our disposal. We get an extra pair of eyes with every artist we encounter, and we can wander around looking at the world in a Kaufman way, a Morrison way, an O'Keeffe way. The one true voyage, Proust's narrator says, would be to possess other eyes, to see the universe through the eyes of another, of 100 others. That's what painters, composers, and writers allow us to do. With people like these, we really do fly from star to star. Insight number four, sometimes it's good to lie to yourself. Deliberately lying to yourself might seem impossible. How on earth can you get yourself to believe something you yourself know to be false? But it's actually an everyday occurrence. Let's say you're at the swimming pool and starting to feel tired. You tell yourself, just one more lap and then I'll stop. But you swim your lap, you still feel okay, so you add one more lap after that. If you keep on doing this day after day, pretty soon you'll come to realize that it isn't necessarily your last lap. And yet you keep telling yourself that, and you keep sort of believing it. Somehow it helps you to keep going. Deliberate self-deception really works. There's a scene a bit like this in Proust, although the pool is replaced with an invitation to tea with a crush, and swimming is replaced with heroically saying no. Either way, it's a really fascinating result. It suggests that our minds are divided, that we can exploit this division for our own good, and that when it comes to matters of the heart or of the gym, truth is not always the most important thing. Fifth and final insight, these insights are not enough. They're not enough because you also need the novel they came in. Why is that? Well, because fiction isn't just a fancy delivery mechanism for ideas. These days, we're told over and over again that the point of interesting fictions is to send messages, teach truths, reveal realities, and a host of synonyms all saying the same thing. Proust thought that this attitude was not just misguided, but dangerous. If someone gets all their moral instruction from novels, they're going to end up pretty confused. Proust practices what he preaches, and his own novel does way more than just telling us what to think. It gives us a glimpse into Proust's fascinating mind. It trains our brain, making us better at storing things away, better at thinking probabilistically, better at thinking twice. And like a giant mirror held up to our face, it helps us to see ourselves. If we're lucky, we'll come away from the long but incredible time spent reading it with a better sense of who we are, which, as we saw before, is a really good thing. We'll also be better at remembering, at weighing evidence, at suspending judgment, and even at fooling ourselves like those swimmers on their not-so-final lap. We'll also be better at remembering, at weighing evidence, at suspending judgment, and even at fooling ourselves like those swimmers on their not-so-final lap. For more on all this, please take a look at my little book available wherever 100-page summaries of 3,000-page novels are sold. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Joshua. That was Joshua Landy with five big ideas from The World According to Proust. For more life lessons from the world of literature, check out our book bite for Around the World in 80 Books by David Damrosch. I'm Rufus Griscom. Thanks for listening.